Hello, my name's Tom Dykoff, architect and critic of The Times and BBC Two's The Culture Show. Urban renaissance, regeneration, these words are bandied about with glee by developers all over the country. But what do they really mean? A decade after the Urban Task Force formed, few cities have been untouched by massive new investment and huge changes in their physical fabric, some good, some not so good. One of the last, though, to feel urban renaissance's magic dust is Liverpool, perhaps because of its troubled history in the 80s and 90s, when the city, ripped apart by deindustrialisation and militant politics, nearly went bankrupt. Investors ran a mile, but not anymore. This year, of course, it's host to the European City of Culture, and its famous World Heritage skyline bristles with cranes, rebranding the ultimate declined city as born again. In this podcast, Architecture Centre Places Matter shows us a new Liverpool and asks those at the heart of its transformation, such as City of Culture Creative Director Phil Redman, what city is emerging, and asks those at the receiving end, like local school kids, whether they like it. We begin at Liverpool One, one of the largest development projects in Europe, where architects as wide-ranging as Piers Gough, Wilkinson Air, and Dutch young guns Bic are reconfiguring the centre of Liverpool on a scale unseen since the 1960s. Is this the moment when grand old Liverpool regains its pride?
I'm Rod Holmes, the Grosvenor's project director on what was called the Paradise Project, now called Liverpool One, as it nears completion. And where we are at the moment is the information centre in the heart of Liverpool's existing shopping area. And this place matters very much because this is the place where the people of Liverpool have kept in touch with what we're doing in the Paradise Project for 3.5 years. So as you see, people are coming in and out, finding out about the project, about the archaeology, about the history of the development, about job opportunities, about opportunities to live in this area or to rent a shop and so on.
I'm Charlotte Myram. I'm the Places Matter Design Review Manager. I'm the Regional Design Review Manager. And I wanted Rod to talk about sort of the history. You started in about 1999 with this thing?
We did. We started looking at this opportunity at the end of 1999. We started construction seriously in 2005. We are delivering 36 buildings, of which 10 are existing buildings that are being restored. 22 firms of architects working on the project.
We're about to head out onto the now Liverpool One site with Rod and have a look at what's going to open soon. We're now in the changing room. I love this. It's got a whole wall of boots in every single size, known to man, woman, and child, I think, even, and a whole row of the Liverpool uniform, which is the high-vis jacket. We're now walking down what's left of School Lane. Oh my gosh.
We're retaining 10 buildings which were in this area before, in the 42.5 acres that make up Liverpool One.
You used to be able to wander down here quietly. Now it's just a mass of construction. It's fantastic.
There are two listed warehouses there from the pre-heavy industrial era. There's the Bluecoat Arts Centre with its new wing. Beyond that, a brand new Radio Merseyside and Herbert the Hairdresser's Bling Bling building designed by Piers Gough. And the street beyond is Hanover Street that we're virtually rebuilding. But this street, this is College Lane, links the eventually links right up to Hope Street and then down through the rope walks, past the Fax Centre, past Renew, past Concert Square, down here across Hanover Street. And then as people get to about this point, a little bit higher up, they'll be able to see one of the clocks on the Liver building, and then they'll see just behind this crane a crazy zigzag stair, if you'd like to have a look.
Yeah,
here
this is...
I just love these elevations. Here's here with Tompkins. Yeah. Using this small blue brick, and look at that lovely fenestration up above. And then Glenn next door, these fins going right up to the top of the 13th store building. Opposite us, this zigzag stair is in a block by Allies and Morrison. I'm not supposed to have favourites, having commissioned all these buildings, but that's my favourite. I think it's so exquisitely detailed, all these beautiful curves. Look at this stone in the Allies building. You see, it's a limestone. People used to say to me, the big, important, historic, classical, neoclassical buildings in Liverpool were either the red sandstone or were Portland stone. Over in Germany, looking for a stone for this building, I found this, which is a limestone, like Portland stone, but it's got the sandstone in it. Sandstone was obviously laid down, perhaps at flood time, in the calcareous material, and you get this lovely textured stone, which I'm sure over time will just become more and more beautiful.
Very mottled coloration. It's quite lovely. The contrast between the grey and the red.
I think this is the shoreline of the pre-old dock era. So right the way through to the beginning of the 18th century, ships would find shelter in the Pool of Liverpool. That's what was out there, and the pool is remembered by these pools of water. And there's lots of interesting stories about Liverpool. One of them is that Jung, the psychoanalyst, had a dream at the low point in his life. He was terribly depressed, went to bed, and he slept about, and in his dream he saw a beautiful, peaceful pool. We tried to replicate the pool there with that curve. He dreamt of seeing this pool, and when he woke up the next morning, he was out of his depression. He was restored to good health, and for some obscure reason, he said, "What I saw was the Pool of Life in Liverpool."
Liverpool Old Dock, England. 58.45 degrees north, 3.0167 degrees west. That's where we're at, right? That's that point?
It is. We're now walking along this this line of the old dock because I want to show you something at the end.
Oh my gosh. We're going down an amazing wooden ramp into the bowels of this new construction to look at... What are we going to look at?
We've come down into the undercroft. And what we're standing above now is remains of the old dock, and you see an interesting culvert feeding a stream which probably brought water down originally from the castle down into the pool, because this was the Pool of Liverpool, and here's the dock built in the pool. And what I think nobody really understood was that this side of it was cut into the bedrock. Now this is really a very important place for Liverpool, and many Liverpudlians who visited it are quite moved by it, because they know that this is the place where the great port and city of Liverpool started.
This is pretty sensational. It's, I think, an amazing achievement.
Well, what I think is quite wonderful is that that we remember, you and I, Charlotte, remember what the state the city was in at the end of the 1990s. It's been through a dreadful period, and to see the city turn around has been a wonderful thing. People themselves in this city didn't have confidence in themselves in many ways, in their city, in their future, and now kids are proud to be Liverpudlians again, have opportunities and career opportunities. 5,000 jobs created by this development alone.
Hello, my name's Arthur Dunster and I'm 15 years old. We're at the back of Moorfield Station, and we're looking at Turning the Place Over by Richard Wilson. You're looking at a oval shape in a quite normal looking wall, which a artist has cut around, and it is turning on its side. It never touches the building that it's turning next to. It was an old Yates wine lodge, I'm guessing. It's about 6 stories tall. It's in quite an odd part of Liverpool, the business district, and I think the person who owned it has sold it off, and sadly it will be gone in a couple of months' time, I think. When you walk past this area, you would never think anything of it, and all of a sudden you see a hole in the wall that is turning, which is quite wonderful. I think you've got to go right in front of it, just straight on.
Should we go and have a look?
Yeah, come on. You've got to actually sit on this and look at it and just relax for a moment and kind of just, I don't know, think about it. It really does make you wonder. It just makes me smile. It does kind of make you proud of Liverpool, as it is such a wonderful piece and it's such a landmark in a way. I think the artist may have been trying to kind of think about the world or something, but me personally, I just like to stare at it and have always that split second of the perfectness of the building, and then all of a sudden this abnormality which just kind of keeps on turning, because you'd never expect it. That's what I love.
I'm Ben Ezard. I'm 13 years old.
Hello, I'm Adam O'Donnell. I'm 13 years old and I go to Caldy Grange Grammar School.
coming up to the bombed out church, which is one of the big signposts of Liverpool, really.
It's a very distinctive memorial to the bomb damage of Liverpool. And there it is, bombed and still standing, just like Liverpool.
Top of Bond Street now.
The buildings are generally quite old-fashioned and intricate, with intricate stonework, which modern architects generally don't tend to bother with. They tend to use glass and concrete and stuff.
This street used to be the poshest shopping street in the northwest and was known as the Bond Street of the northwest at one point, so it's a very historic street.
We just walked about 20 metres down Ball Street. We started at the top of Ball Street where the big old church is. And on the first left as we go down Ball Street, there's scaffolding. Someone's trying to build a building.
Trying.
It's not built yet, is it?
What do you think of all the building work in the city?
I think it's a bit too much.
Yeah.
I don't like change.
I think they should demolish the whole lot and start again.
What would you put up if they did that?
Probably like a massive shopping centre and like a park, because there isn't really parks and really.
All the parks have been like swallowed up by all the buildings. We can leave like one or two old fashioned streets. Yeah, it's a bit of a memory.
Some of it's nice, but like other things are just tacky and it's not really aesthetically pleasing. That's the fact centre.
Fact building. They have a cinema in there, a cafe. Computer suites,
galleries. It's probably one of the most outstanding buildings in Liverpool because it stands out to the rest.
It's all made of metal square panels, and all the glass is square panels as well to fit in.
You've done two trips around Liverpool, You've seen your work displayed to your parents, and you're now doing slightly different, just the two of you rather than the whole group. Worthwhile?
I think it was really worthwhile, because we know more about Liverpool, because I would never have known half the stuff that I've learned here.
Same. Hi, I'm Phil Remond. I'm Deputy Chair and Creative Director of the European Capital of Culture, which we're happy to be hosting in Liverpool this year. And we're actually here tonight at the launch of the Metal Pavilion in Edgehill, which is interesting because Edgehill was the start of civilization. It's where the railways first started and where the first railway casualty actually happened, when Huskinson was run over by the rocks. If you look and see what Liverpool and this region's actually contributed to the arts, media, showbiz, sport, any kind of social activity, you'll find if there's a seismic shift or change going on, there'll be a Scouser in there somewhere, you know. So it's a city that's always been steeped in culture, and if people just come to the city, I mean, it's a bit like Boston. It's a walking city. It's quite safe. No one needs to worry, and you know, you can just walk and enjoy the rich variety of architecture that's here, you know, and you can do that by going from the finest collection of museums and galleries outside London, the National Museums Liverpool and William Brown Street. Look at the finest neoclassical building in Europe, St George's Hall. Take a stroll down past the Art Deco entrance of the Mersey Tunnel down Dale Street, and you know, you can do all that in a kind of morning. And then take the ferry across the river and listen to Jerry Marsden sing a ferry across the river as you look back to the World Heritage waterfront site. I think if I have a favourite building, it actually is St George's Hall. It's not just because of the architecture, which is well known, but because it was the second building to be built as an air conditioning machine. And there's only two like it in the world. One is St George's Hall and one is the Palace of Westminster, where the entire building is actually, and the hall itself is a plenum chamber for a very, very early form of air conditioning, because they were so paranoid about cholera and things that they brought the air in, washed it through fountains, fed it over massive heat exchangers driven by steam engines, and big steam engines to drive the air around through miles and miles of ducts and they had a workforce of 60 people opening, closing doors to let the air go through, you know. So it's actually a fascinating building, very, very cutting edge of its time back in 1830, you know. But that's my favourite building, I think.
I'm Lewis Biggs, I'm director of Liverpool Biennial. What's happening here tonight is there's the opening of two exhibitions, well, two artworks anyway. One by Alan Al, which is inside the ancient Edgehill station. And the other is by Luis and Juan Pelaez, which is in the approach to Edgehill station, in the historic approach. And they both make a reference to the space in which they're made.
Le veo muchos momentos en la historia. El tema del puerto me interesa mucho. O sea, como uno ve todavía... Uno alcanza a leer que ese puerto fue supremamente importante para la ciudad. Alcanza a ver las ruinas del puerto y alcanza a ver un puerto contemporáneo. O sea, hay un paso en el tiempo que como arquitecto me interesa mucho ver eso.
He's saying that the history of the city is something that has really captured his imagination. You know, the whole idea that the city was built on a port, and that was the whole reason for being for the city. And then that the fact that there was another port built on top of that. For an architect like him, it's just so exciting. It's very interesting to come to a place that can deliver all of that.
It's not bland, and people don't want to be blandified the way in which so many towns across England are being blandified. And they want to hang on to whatever character they have. And so when you come here, you get a sense of richness, of contextual richness, which everybody who lives here is aware of and doesn't want to let go of. And it's not just about diversity, it's about the use of memory, and it's about the way people see what's around them. And it's about the imaginings they have for the future as well. So it's like you have to think about where we are right now as just part of a continuum of past, present and future, and which people are aware of all the time. People have phenomenal memories and phenomenal imaginations.
My name's Jude Kelly. We looked at Edgehill Station, which had been a very famous station, like the most famous station, because where the original steam engine left, first steam engine left. We thought, how could you leave it to be neglected this way? So we decided that we would do it up, change it, and make it a place that the community and artists could use again. So it sort of replicates what originally the railway station must have felt like, where just the excitement of journey would have been so extraordinary. People would have come together to talk and exchange ideas, strangers would have met and chatted. We don't do that anymore at railway stations because we sort of know where we're all heading. But art can make that happen again. When I was a little girl, I used to come here, I think every Saturday, with my granddad, because he was a great fan of everything to do with Liverpool, and he was so proud of its history. And when I came back recently and saw how neglected it was, I thought it was tragic that children my age now couldn't understand. They wouldn't be able to come here and go, gosh, this is part of my history. And that's irresponsible of adults to let that history slip away for the next generation, the generation after that. For me, it's all about the fact that there's so many powerful people in the world. We've got jobs, we've got security. There's so much more we could do, and so why don't we just do it?
I was at school around here, so, you know, we always used to hang around here when we were kids. Come down, look at the trains and all that, you know what I mean? There used to be a church over there. They've knocked it down to put house on. That was our youth club. The nearest youth club now is called Edgehill Boys Club, which was our, because we were Edgehill Boys School. Edgehill Boys was our Boise. But now with all the regeneration, they're knocking good houses down, old houses. You know, you go around the city, the banter's good. The jokes are good, the people are as they are, you know, you could go around the community. You know, we're just a big community, always have been. You know, we just get on with it.